show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, on this historic day, this historic 6th of November, 2007, when we find one man, one Democrat, one man who stands alone in the Congress of the United States, putting a motion before the United States House of Representatives to impeach Richard B. Cheney. Congratulations and thank you, Representative Kucinich. Thank you very much for finally standing up and showing America that there is at least one man, at least one person in Congress who has some cojones. One person who stands beside the strength of their beliefs, stands up for what is right, stands up for what he told the constituency he would do, what he told all of us he would do. And he's not doing it for political reasons. He's doing it because he knows it's the right thing to do. He's doing it because he knows it's constitutional. It's legal. It's what the people want. It's what this should have been done a long time ago. Dennis Kucinich. Richard B. Cheney impeachment. Find him guilty of subverting the Constitution of the United States. Impeach him and remove him from office. And, of course, along comes somebody, and I had C-SPAN on and didn't get a chance to see who it was. It only happened moments ago, very few minutes ago. I think it was Steny Hoyer. Correct me if I'm wrong. Who said made a motion to lay it on the table, which means kill the motion for all intents and purposes. But at least Representative Kucinich had a chance to show America that at least he knows right from wrong, if nobody else in that august body does. At least he had the bravado. At least he had the courage to stand up for what is right. You suppose it'll ever make it to a vote? I doubt it. Since it's being laid on the table... And was that Hoyer? Does anybody know? If Hoyer did that, it's a disgrace. Of course, the actions of Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi have by and large been disgraceful so far in this session of Congress. We should all contact the offices of Representative Kucinich, even if you're not a Buckeye, and let him know how you feel about his actions. I think we all know, we're smart enough to know, that this bill isn't going anywhere. But it's not going anywhere because there'll be other Democrats who do not have the courage or the conviction to vote with him on it, and they'll join the Republicans in voting it down if it even gets to a vote. I think we know that. It's say what you will about Dennis Kucinich, and I love the guy. I endorsed him for the presidency his last run. Yes, he's quirky. Yes, he's eccentric. Yes, he's just a short little guy. All those things. Everybody says Dennis is just this and just that. And yes, he was just the boy mayor of Cleveland, Ohio. But he's been representing the people of his district honestly and honorably for a long time now, and that's more than I can say for a hell of a lot of his fellow representatives in the House. Thank you, Dennis Kucinich. I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more about that as events unfold this afternoon, but I'm disappointed that they are voting right now to lay it on the table. I'm sure it'll pass to go ahead and do that. I think it was George Orwell. You know, all these politicians, particularly Chuck Schumer today, really disgusted with his actions on the Judiciary Committee. But political rhetoric being what it is, you know, George Orwell said, political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable. Politics and the English language, by George Orwell. And I think in this waterboarding debate, Orwell's warning has found its most literal application. We'll be talking about that a lot more today. I started right off talking about Dennis Kucinich, but I do want to let you know that coming up later on in the program today, we're going to have award-winning author and columnist and broadcaster Eric Margulies. Eric has been with us before. He's covered 14 wars, and he's a leading authority on military affairs, particularly in the Middle East and South Asia and the Islamic movements. What Eric doesn't know about the current crisis in Pakistan isn't worth knowing, and we'll have him join us very early in the second hour today. You won't want to miss that interview if you want to hear what truly is going on in Pakistan from a man who knows that situation intimately. You can call us at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. And I think we'll head on over to the phones right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
It was that man who is the leader, our leader in the Congress. What's his name?
Steny Hoyer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched his speech, and I kept saying, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you.
Yeah, well.
And I know, yeah, he's the one that got up to motion the table. I didn't really know what it meant until, but Dennis has asked for a roll call, and that's what they're doing now.
Yeah, I wonder how it's going.
Voting on motion to table.
The table motion most surely will pass. I doubt if very many of them have enough guts to follow Dennis's footsteps.
They've only got 24 to vote a nay on it. They've got 150, including about as many Democrats as Republicans.
Yeah.
But God bless him. You know, he's a real, real American.
Yes,
real
he
American.
Is.
He's a real man. He's a gutsy little guy.
He certainly is. And
you know, if they had Abraham Lincoln here, they'd feel the same way about him. They wouldn't have him.
You know, because they said he
had a weird voice and he wasn't very good looking. He wasn't good looking at all. You know.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd let you know that I forget what the guy's name is.
Steny Hoyer from Maryland.
Yeah, Hoyer. He's the very one.
Our Democratic Assistant Majority Leader.
And when they said not to table, you could hear one voice really loud, and they said it was Dennis.
Sure.
Saying nay.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a brave man.
Yes, yes, it is.
A man of his convictions.
He is that.
And that's what we need more and more. And I think it's just beautiful. And I hope he's supposed to have a press conference too after this.
Yeah.
They don't know what time, but
we tried to get him on today, but as expected, he was quite busy this afternoon. So
yeah, he didn't get to speak when he was scheduled to. You know,
yeah.
Has some other stuff and
sure.
Then.
All right. Hey, thanks, Juanita. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Bye now. Yeah, we'll hear a lot more about that today, possibly throughout the program as well. We'll see how this vote goes. Of course, we do expect it to be laid on the table and forgotten about. This is an issue that, to me, just shows if your representative does have any courage of conviction. And let's face it, not many of them do. After all, they are politicians, and they will vote for whatever puts them in the best light, them personally. So that's what will happen. How many of you saw, speaking of, and I mentioned earlier about this torture and McCasey thing, the Judiciary Committee condoned the use of torture today. They did. They may as well have said, we, the Senate Judiciary Committee, condoned the use of torture today by pushing through the nomination of McCasey, letting it go before the Senate for a vote. They could have stopped it. I think the vote was 11-8 with Feinstein and Chuck Schumer crossing over. And I want to say that I think Chuck Schumer behaved about as gutless as a politician can on this issue. I was looking at his article that he had published, the op-ed in the New York Times today, and he said, I am voting today to support Michael B. McCasey for Attorney General for one critical reason. The Department of Justice, once the crown jewel among our government institution, is in shambles and in desperate need of a strong leader committed to depoliticizing the agency's operations. Au contraire, Mr. Schumer. Depoliticizing the agency's operations by saying you really don't know much about waterboarding, you don't know if it's illegal or not. That's depoliticizing the Justice Department. Having somebody willing to condone torture, somebody willing to allow the President of the United States. You take the Jose Padilla case. McCasey ruled in that. An American citizen. I'm not saying Padilla is right in what he did, but we do have laws in this country. And Padilla allowed the president to hold this man as an enemy combatant while the charges, there were no charges against him. An American citizen. This isn't how we do things. And I do not want an attorney general of the United States to allow the president to look the other way while the president breaks the law and subverts the Constitution. That is not what the attorney general of the United States is supposed to do. And yet we have Chuck Schumer, a prominent Democrat, said, well, he'd be a strong leader, committed to depoliticizing the agency's operation. Schumer went on to say the department has been devastated under the Bush administration. Oh, no kidding, Chuck. Really, we didn't know. Schumer says outstanding United States attorneys have been dismissed without cause. Really? Career civil rights lawyers have been driven out in droves. No kidding. People appear to have been prosecuted for political reasons. Young lawyers have been rejected because they were not conservative ideologues, and politics has been allowed to infect decision-making. Chuck, politicians infected your decision-making in this case because you succumbed to the good old-fashioned New York cronyism in the Democratic Party of the state of New York. That's what this is about, Chuck, not about doing the right thing. Oh, no. Schumer goes on to say in his op-ed today, we're now on the brink of a reversal. There's no virtually universal agreement, even from those who oppose Judge McCasey, that he would do a good job in turning the department around. My colleagues who opposed his confirmation have gone out of their way to praise his character and qualifications. Let me tell you something. If you don't know whether waterboarding is right or wrong, if you don't have an opinion as to whether or not it is legal or illegal, torture or not torture, you don't have any character. Period. Even Sheldon Whitehouse said to him, you know, by all accounts, a good man. No. No. If for political reasons you're going to stand in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee and say you don't know if torture is, this is torture or not, you're not a good man. Plain and simple. And so Schumer goes on to give the ludicrous argument that if they rejected Judge McCasey, President Bush said that he would install an acting caretaker attorney general who could serve for the rest of his term without the advice and consent of the Senate. What are we going to have now, Chucky? What have we had for 7 years? We've had attorney generals of the United States that have done anything they damn well please and allowed the White House to do anything they damn well please under the guise of fighting terror. Taking away Americans' rights, taking away our privacy, the FISA thing. All of this taking place. Visiting Ashcroft when he was doped up in the hospital to try to get him to sign something against his will. Oh, these are real honorable things that this administration has done, and you want to approve another one of their nominations? Are you crazy? And Chucky Schumer says, well, it's all right. He's a good man. He's a good man. So I believe that if we... he's Schumer's talking again here. That to put in a recess appointment here would be to surrender the department to the extreme ideology of Vice President Dick Cheney and his chief of staff, David Addington. All the work we did to pressure Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to resign would be undone in a moment. Oh, good. Oh, good. We get Gonzalez to resign and we put somebody in with just as little morality as Gonzalez had. Quite a change, huh, Chuck? Schumer went on to say in his op-ed today in the New York Times, Judge McCasey's refusal to state that waterboarding is illegal was unsatisfactory to me. Unsatisfactory, Chuck. It was repugnant to me. But it was just unsatisfactory to Chucky Schumer and Dianne Feinstein. And then Schumer says what I think is one of the dumbest things that he said in all of this long, drawn-out op-ed today. Schumer says, but Congress is now considering, and I hope we will soon pass, a law that would explicitly ban the use of waterboarding and other abusive interrogation techniques. And I am confident that Judge McCasey would enforce that law. So let me get this straight, Chuck. Congress? This is just ludicrous. Is going to pass a law that will explicitly ban the use of waterboarding and other abusive interrogation techniques? How are they going to spell that out, Chuck? Okay, you won't be allowed to pour 2 gallons of water down the guy's lungs. You can do a gallon and a half. You won't be able to do this. You won't be able to do that. You won't be able to keep him without sleep for 10 days, but you can do 9. You're going to tell me Congress is going to get into the minutia of what kind of extreme interrogation tactics this government can take and what they can't? Don't make me laugh, Schumer. I'm... never been a Chuck Schumer fan. I've always thought he's another one of those self-aggrandizing senators that would do anything he needed to do for his own self-aggrandizement. And he proved me right. Absolutely proved me right today with this ridiculous statement of his. And he and Dianne Feinstein are going to be responsible for us having this new Attorney General of the United States. Another lackey of the Bush administration. another one that will oppose anything that could cause justice to come knocking on the door of the White House. This is another sad day for America. On the one hand, I have a great sense of pride today that Dennis Kucinich has done what he has done. And on the other hand, I'm sick to death that Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein, for political reasons, to save their political hides, jumped on the right-wing Republican bandwagon just to show everybody how tough we can be. We can torture with the best of them. Gonna pass a law. Yeah, Chucky. Yeah. You know, it's... And I saw Ann Coulter talking about torture and Buchanan and Britt Hume and I don't know how many other right-wingers. It'd be hard to choose who's Ann Coulter's and the Mad Dog right-wing friend's biggest hero. Would it be Joseph McCarthy or Torquemada or Benito Mussolini? I don't know. When you hear them talk with such glee and their voices about torture, and you can see it. You can see them beaming. The Michelle Malkins and the Coulters and the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and the Mark Levins and the Laura Ingrams. When you hear them talk about this torture, they talk about it with such glee in their voices. It's really hard to decide which one of these people is their biggest hero, whether it's Mussolini or McCarthy or Torquemada. It's just too damn bad they don't defend the sick and the elderly and the children as vigorously as they do torture. They seem to get this sick, sinister grin on their faces when they even mention it. It's like some sort of sexual pleasure they get when they're talking about torturing people. Makes me sick to death. And you know, a moment to blow our own horn here for this show. My own horn. I watched Keith Olbermann last night, and I thought Keith's speech there at the end of this program was just terrific. It always is. Keith is aces in my book. His speech was very, very good. Very good. But I do want to remind everybody that we covered every single point of that speech last night. Every single point of it we covered on this show last week. Last week, we said the McCasey dance was to keep Bush, Cheney, and Gonzalez out of striped suits. Last week, we did that. So, nice job, Keith, but you were a little bit late on that whole thing. Just a little bit late. 866-546-5254. You are certainly welcome to call the program. We'd love to have you call the program. And we'll be back in just a moment.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Foxed Up at his new time, 12 midnight, following nighttime Cup of Joe. We'll take a look at John Lennon's Thanksgiving 1974 onstage appearance with Elton John, marking the end of Lennon's lost weekend.
That's when Yoko and I got back together the night I performed with Elton at Madison Square Garden.
Be there this Thursday on Foxed Up at his new time, 12 midnight, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Whatever gets you through the night.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
I frame the question in these stark terms.
Are we going to continue to invest American blood and treasure at the same rate we are doing now? For what?
If we continue what you have laid before the Congress here as a strategy, do you feel that that is making America safer?
Sir, I don't know, actually.
this month at Cheney's. It's the Warfest Breakfast, a delicious combo of Cheney's favorites, including three strips of sizzling Guantanamo bacon, two eggs served sunny side up yours, hash brown shirts fried to Aryan perfection, oil-drenched terrorist links, and you won't need a warrant for these waffles. So come with an appetite for weapons of mass destruction and leave quagmired in satisfaction. Eat at Cheney's. Don't torture yourself.
Hey, quick reminder, Eric Margolis is going to be with us coming up a little bit after the top of the hour, in the second hour today, to talk about this Musharraf situation going on in Pakistan and the dangers we face there. Something that many have predicted over the years. When you do business with the devil, you end up getting bitten. And Musharraf, lover of democracy that he is. Yes. Yes, he loves to promote democracy over there, just getting rid of the Supreme Court and a few people in his way, that's all. But we'll talk about that right after the top of the hour today. On this interesting day, once again, I wonder if the final vote's in. I don't have access to that here in the studio today. I suppose they've tabled Dennis's motion by now to lay the motion on the table and let it collect in the dustbin of history. But once again, at least one man had the courage of his convictions to stand up. What about the rest of you, Nancy? You said it wasn't on the table. Now it is on the table, right? Impeachment is off the table. Well, you had Steny Hoyer put it back on the table. That's the way I see it today, certainly. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to join us here in the Guy James Show, you can call toll-free, 866-546-5254. And, of course, if you're on an unlimited calling plan and got plenty of minutes to spare, you can call us at 941-876-6896. I wanted to mention a little bit today. I got into this big, long philosophical discussion about political ideology with a couple of people I know very well the other day, and I wonder how many Americans interested in politics have taken the time to really study what's happened within the Republican Party in the last couple of decades. Really, when you take a close look, it's just bizarre, just absolutely bizarre. Let's see, we got our phones lit up. Let's head on over to the phone before I get started on something serious here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. This is Phil up in Daytona Beach. How are you?
Yeah, Phil.
Well, Kucinich, truthfully, Guy, I don't think he's, by definition, doing anything heroic. He's doing his damn job.
Yep, that's all.
In the job description.
Yep.
And for that to be considered heroic or out of the, way off the chart, it should be a wake up to us all at how far off track, our country is, Now, I wanted to ask you this, Guy. The tabling, you could see that coming. In Steny Hoyer, anyone who voted to table this damn thing, in my opinion, is complicit in the crimes of the Bush-Cheney administration. Because the Constitution, which all these criminals took an oath to support and defend, requires that these acts of Bush and Cheney and their administration be investigated. And they scream for impeachment, but like you and I had a conversation back in January after that big rally, that the investigations is part of the process, investigations we've yet to see. My question is this, Guy. The other former Senator Mike Gravel, in a couple of his debates, I don't know the whole politics and the procedure of this, but he was talking about bringing something to the floor and each time just keep bringing it back and bringing it back and making the senator, the Congress show their face and, you know, their votes. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or,
no, I don't. The only thing I can think of along those lines where it would had to have been when you were talking about the appropriations bill.
That's what it was.
That's what it was to keep just keep putting it in front of Bush's nose and making him
force these senators and everybody else to be on record.
Yeah, and
you know, with their votes, and then having, you know, being in a position where they have to actually defend their vote.
Yeah.
What now that this thing's tabled or will be tabled, what's the next step? Do you know?
That's it. There is no more step on it. It's done. Steny Hoyer has made the statement that impeachment's not on our agenda. We've got some major priorities. We need to focus on those. I'd like to know what he thinks the major priorities are, because they haven't done it outside of a little bit of work on the minimum wage bill and a couple other things like that. They haven't done a damn thing. So I'd like to know what it is that Steny says they're going to focus on. I really love to hear that.
This I wake up every day, guy, and my mind, it's the freaking Twilight Zone, man.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and that's us living in America. You know, these poor people around the world on the other end of our foreign policies, you know, having family members raped, tortured, killed, you know, at the hands of our, you know, our forces, for crying out loud.
Well, we've given away a lot with this nomination going out of the Senate Judiciary Committee up for a up or down vote now. We've told the world that torture's okay.
What does the AIPAC have? What influence do they have? I mean, you know, Schumer and Feinstein, for crying out loud, you know, big time AIPAC front men, you know.
Almost all of them are, Phil. Almost all of them are. It's the money. It makes them dance, and the idea that you know, somebody's going to vote against them and put up a bunch of money against them in a campaign, that makes them dance. And you know, they're all slaves to AIPAC. I think almost every one of them. I don't know any of the Senate that are not slaves to AIPAC.
Right. You don't get in the Senate without, I guess, being beholden to them at some level. But definitely Kucinich is not, and I think we still have a year to go yet, and these primaries are not have yet to occur, and I think Kucinich, you know, if you're a Democrat, you know, get behind Kucinich. If you tend to lean to the Republican side, get behind the, you know, Ron Paul, get behind someone. There's just a couple of people that are not beholden to AIPAC and the Council on Foreign Relations and the military-industrial complex. We really have to take our country back as a people. It's been taken from us.
Well, maybe someday. We're going to have to stay at it long and loud,
sure.
And going to have to stay at it. Dave, Phil, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah. Thanks for your program.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm told that the vote has been changing after it closed. There are now more Republicans voting nay than Democrats. See, that's one of the nice things. They can say, well, you know, we did the right thing. And they know it didn't have a chance, so I tell you, it's the politics that takes place. And I think that goes back to what I was saying there before Phil called about Republicans and Democrats, really. But really, one of the fascinating things, and I've been studying it a lot lately, that's what's happened in our political parties. And I'll talk about the Democrats another day, because certainly what's happening within the Democrats' ranks is fascinating to behold as well. But when you take a close look at the Republican Party inside of it, it's just crazy. You've got the moderates. Those people, and those Republicans listening, tell me, you know, send me an email. I know you won't call, but send me an email and let me know which side of this is on. You're on one or the other. You got your moderates. There are those who belong to the Republican Party because of their true fiscally conservative beliefs, and that's okay. Small government, as little taxation as possible, and, you know, general fiscal responsibilities from their elected leaders. That's what they're looking for, the true moderates. They didn't ask about someone's religion back in the days of Rockefeller and Goldwater and all that. They didn't care whether or not they were pro-choice or pro-life. They didn't care about the issues of people's sexuality. I mean, these were moral people, but they weren't about to hammer somebody over the head with their religious beliefs and claim, you know, any kind of moral superiority over everybody else. I don't remember that from the real Republican Party of years ago. But then we've got this new part, the other side of the Republican Party. You've got what I call the new wing of the Republican Party, well, there's no other way to put it, the crazy-ass, wacko, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity-listing, Bible-pounding, hardcore, anti-gay pro-lifers who would and have voted against their own self-interest for the sake of maintaining their inflexible, stringent, far-right, self-righteous, so-called moral values. In other words, they would cut off their noses to spite their faces, and they have done it over and over and over again. And this group is dangerous to the American way of life. I'm sorry, but there's no other way to say it other than these people are the equivalent of an American Taliban. You know I'm right. If they had their way, church attendance would be a legal requirement. They'd have the church police making sure you were there every Sunday. The school kids would be praying to Jesus before every class. And the women would all be wearing ankle-length dresses with their hair up in a bun. You know I'm right. This second group that I'm talking about doesn't give a damn about any tax cuts. They don't care about insider trading or the Ken Lays of the world. All they care about is forcing their morality on the rest of the country, on all of us. If you gave them their way, they'd elect Pat Robertson as king, and they'd have James Dobson as the spiritual leader of the country. And I shudder to think of what might happen were these people allowed to take over the government of the United States. They're just plain dangerous. They're zealots, almost cultist, who get down on their knees every day and pray for Armageddon so they can get, you know, they get to their promised land without having to spend another minute on this planet with those of us who don't measure up to their self-proclaimed moralistic values. And the crazy part of it all is that they're willing to give their fat cat friends on the other end of the Republican Party, and I'm talking way on the other end, they're willing to give them anything they want in the way of tax cuts or big business advantages, the erosion of our liberties that we've all seen lately, the military excursions into anywhere that they want to go. They'll go along with anything the social moderates in their party want, as long as they're allowed a few political crumbs of being able to continue the radical neoconservative agenda. It's really fascinating. This second group doesn't have a material goal. They leave that up to the socially moderate Republicans, who are more than happy, believe me, more than happy to take care of it to their great advantage. I've had many conversations with socially moderate Republicans, and I can tell you that to a man, at least the ones I've talked to, they think the conservative Republicans are a bunch of illiterate, easily manipulated saps. It's true. They see these hardcore conservatives as a bunch of raving lunatics who've signed over the farm to them in order to have their anti-gay, anti-abortion agenda advance, and they help the fat cats pass legislation which makes their big business contributors obscene amounts of money. And as long as they're allowed to hitch their wagon to the moderates' wagon, they'll keep right on being the moderates' own personal suckers. Really, in essence, they help each other. The conservatives use the moderates for the power they wield so that they can beat up on social liberals and anyone else who doesn't share their particular brand of Christian values. And the moderates use the conservatives for their votes to advance their monetary agenda. Nice, huh? Politically, they're about as far apart as one can get, and yet they have succeeded in defeating the Democratic Party time after time in state legislatures and national elections during the past couple of decades. Think about it. You got the guy who lives in a trailer, some Baptist down in Mississippi, a guy who doesn't have a pot, a guy for whom a tax cut doesn't mean a damn thing, a guy whom big business has crapped all over by shipping his jobs overseas, busting his union, and taking away his insurance and probably his retirement benefits. This is the guy who can't afford to go to the local pharmacy and buy the prescription medicine he needs for himself and his family, his wife and his kids. This is the guy who can't go see a doctor because he doesn't have any money for the bill. This poor sucker is being used by the fat cat Republicans so that they can generally loot the United States Treasury and amass all the wealth they can grab at the expense of the poor sucker Rush Limbaugh convinced to vote Republican. These are people who have been convinced by an actual admitted drug junkie that the media is owned and controlled by the left, and they're out to get them. And they've just forgotten one tiny little detail, and that is the media is almost wholly owned by the very corporate entities the suckers are being convinced to support. Do they think Rupert Murdoch is a leftist? Do they think the Wall Street Journal is leftist? Do they think GE, which owns NBC and CNBC and MSNBC and a multitude of other media outlets, do they think they're leftist? Do they think Viacom is owned by the leftists, CBS, ABC? They've been led to believe something that's just patently absurd on its face. It's nearly a perfect system of social opportunism by the moderate Republicans. And when you dissect the whole thing, it is absolutely fascinating. We actually have a whole class of people in this country who've been convinced that allowing themselves to be robbed of everything they have is a good thing, and they've been convinced of that by the gang that is robbing them. It's like Bonnie and Clyde walking into a bank, taking the cash and the billfolds and the purses of everybody in the place and being thanked and congratulated for doing it on the way out of the bank. This segment of the Republican Party is working longer hours for less pay. They're suffering more government intrusion into their lives. They're getting less privacy than ever before. We're having more executions, longer sentences, bigger prisons, less social programs for those in need, while the cost of health care and higher education rises way above most families' means. And of course, it goes without saying we've got more fear, more hate, and more war. And the amazing part of it all is that this has been going on for some 30 years. And the fools at the bottom of the Republican food chain haven't yet figured it all out. I've known some pretty foolish and ignorant people in my life. But I don't think I've ever seen so many people as right now who seems to be so smug and absolutely delighted by their own utter stupidity. When you really take a hard look at today's Republican Party, it is fascinating indeed what you really see. Two completely different groups of people, one of them just screwing the other one right and left, and they're turning around looking at him saying, "Why, thank you, I think I'll have some more." And yet it goes on and on and on. Aren't we just lucky? Well, you can give us a call here in the show, 866-546-5254. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm walking. Yes, indeed, and I'm talking.
Yes, indeed. We're all walking, because walking is good medicine for your heart. The American Heart Association says for every hour of regular vigorous exercise we do, like very brisk walking, we could live 2 hours longer. So start walking. Imagine if we walk to the moon and back, we could live forever. Start walking for life. Take your mother. Take your brother.
I'm walking, yes indeed, and I'm talking about you.
Take your heart for a walk. Join the START movement at AmericanHeart.org/START for tools, tips, and more. Everybody now, I'm walking, yes indeed, and I'm a talking. You'll feel better, and you could live longer.
And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. Many Americans saw the California fires on their TV screens this week. Yesterday, I had the chance to visit California, the wondrous land of Hollywood magic, to see how they make those fires seem so real. I visited what must have been a large outdoor soundstage where giant green screen computers projected lifelike moving drawings of fire, which were so realistic, you almost thought you could feel the heat. They were attended by costumed firefighters and actors cast specially for their hugging ability. And I joined in the fun by playing along with them in a scripted show of concern for the loss of their homes. Also, local residents were entertained by an exciting, dramatic recreation of a FEMA press conference. It was a moving performance, one that almost made your heart go out to the characters who had burned to death. And of course, I met with the state's governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He did a one-man Wild West show where the action hero took off his shirt and dove into a burning pit of fire and came out with an armful of shaken but alive victims just in the nick of time. We laughed and laughed and applauded heartily. I had a lot of fun in Tinseltown's factory of make-believes and left feeling thankful that such terrible things could never happen in real life. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Foxed Up at its new time, 12 midnight, following Nighttime Cup of Joe. We'll take a look at John Lennon's Thanksgiving 1974 onstage appearance with Elton John, marking the end of Lennon's lost weekend.
That's when Yoko and I got back together the night I performed with Elton at Madison Square Garden.
Be there this Thursday on Foxed Up at his new time, 12 midnight, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Whatever gets you through the night.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Hey, we're back, and from what I can see, something strange going on here with this vote. Is anybody able to monitor a little closer than I am? I'm not sure exactly what I see is going on here with this vote. More Republicans. I don't know. I can't seem to get C-SPAN here right now. They must be overwhelmed on the internet. And we shall see what's happening. But I'm sure somebody will let us know here what's going on very soon about this vote to table this thing. But I'm not sure that Dennis has prevailed in this. Not sure at all. 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, and, well, during the news at the top of the hour, we'll try and get the skinny on all this thing, see exactly what's happened. You know, and keep in mind, most of these people are lawyers, and I have to admit, lawyers in this country may be, how can I say this kindly? They may not be the most... They may be a little bit ethically challenged, let me put it that way. And But most of this problem we have in Washington, D.C. is on account of lawyers. Let's just say it like it is. Lawyers. They cause all the problems. So, say what you want to about Pakistan, but at least their lawyers over there have some balls. Yeah. Police yesterday used tear gas and baton charges to break up protests as thousands of lawyers, did you see them all dressed up in their suits and ties? They took to the streets all across Pakistan in the first significant demonstration against President Musharraf's declaration of emergency rule on Saturday. The largest rally took place in the eastern city of Lahore, where lawyers and police battled each other at the city's high court complex, and several lawyers were injured and hundreds were arrested before the protesters were dispersed, and in suits and ties, no less. And if you've seen the pictures, they weren't fooling around, these lawyers. So at least there's some lawyers somewhere that get out and fight for truth, justice, and real democracy. Real democracy. Yeah, I'm seeing on the chat room that that appears the motion to table got defeated. 242 votes to keep impeachment on the table. I don't know. We'll sort it all out while the news is on at the top of the hour. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We'll remind you once again, Eric Margolis, expert on South Asia and the Middle East and the Islamic movements, is going to be with us shortly after the top of the hour. And it's going to be interesting hearing what he has to say about this Musharraf situation. Did you see this right-wing crazy DeRoy Murdoch, the National Review? I don't have to tell you what the National Review is, right-wing rag. William Buckley started it, so there you go. But the National Review online column, he says, waterboarding has its benefits. Contributing editor DeRoy Murdoch wrote that waterboarding is something of which every American should be proud. Yes, he actually wrote that. Waterboarding is something of which every American should be proud, adding that though clearly uncomfortable. Now, there's an understatement. Clearly uncomfortable. You know, a hangnail's uncomfortable. You know, having a stuffy nose is uncomfortable. It's clearly uncomfortable. Waterboarding loosens lips without causing permanent physical injuries. In fact, according to medical experts on the effect of torture, waterboarding results in both short and long-term negative consequences for mental and physical health, including possible risk of death. And as Media Matters for America has repeatedly documented, and what a great website, Media Matters, started a couple of years ago, and it's growing and growing, and what a great job they do monitoring the right-wing media. Just a fabulous job. Murdoch went on to write some more in the National Review Online. Appropriately enough, waterboarding is not used on American citizens suspected of tax evasion, sexual harassment, or bank robbery. Waterboarding is used on foreign Islamic extremist terrorists captured abroad who would love nothing more than to blast innocent men, women, and children into small bloody pieces. Some of them already have done so. Well, I would remind you, Mr. DeRoy Murdoch, that some of the people held in Guantanamo, for example, as having been terrorists, were people that were literally sold into imprisonment by their fellow men over in Afghanistan and Iraq because they had it in for them, and they just simply dropped a dime on them and told the Americans that they were terrorists. And there have been quite a few of them let go under those circumstances. I wonder how many of them got waterboarded before they got released. Oh, it doesn't matter? Oh, it doesn't matter. I see. Okay, it doesn't matter. He goes on to say, waterboarding has worked quickly, causing at least one well-known subject to break down and identify at least six other high-profile, highly bloodthirsty associates before they could commit further mass murder beyond the 3,192 people they already killed and the 7,715 already wounded. There is no proof of that whatsoever that I know. We have the word of the Bush administration, which, as you well know, is completely and utterly useless. There is nothing that they say that is believable in any sense of the word believable. You have to look at a jaundiced eye at anything the Bush administration says. So for them to say that the waterboarding has worked well for them, we don't know. And I can tell you, if I was going to take a chance on this subject, on whether to torture or not torture, I'd rather take a chance on the side of knowing that I'm doing the right thing, that I know this is morally reprehensible. And I live in a country that has always prided itself on being decent and moral and upright and doing the right thing. But we're willing to look the other way now. Many of us willing to look the other way while our government indulges in torture. It's not the American way. But this D. Roy Murdoch in the National Review said, in short, there's nothing repugnant about waterboarding. Well, well, well. I'm glad he likes it. Right now, I'm told that the vote to table Kucinich's impeachment resolution is 170 yes and 242 no. Can that possibly be? Time has run out on the vote. Oh, we're going to have one of those things. And the folks on the chat room don't really know what's going on. So maybe somebody will advise us, or we'll do our best to find out at the top of the hour. Not that we'll know any quicker than you do. Isn't that the great thing about the Internet nowadays? How many of you still watch the evening news at 6:30 Eastern Time? ABC, NBC, CBS. How many of you still watch that? You know, once in a while when I'm someplace where they have it on, it's like I'm watching old news. Most of the stuff that's on, you knew about it right after last night's broadcast or this morning or early afternoon, what all, but almost everything they have on the evening news now is old news. And you have to wonder how long it will survive, because with some 80% or more of adults, at least, on online nowadays, how are they going to survive? Who watches and why? It is surprising, though, how many people... And I'm sure you're all in the same boat. You talk to people, say, "Are you know, you want to send them an email or something. You say, are you online? It is surprising how many people are still here. No, I'm not. I don't know anything about computers, and I don't want to. I've lived all these lives, all these years of my life, and I'm not going to learn now. I find that interesting, because despite all the warts that the Internet has, and there are some, man, I just think it's the greatest invention that that man has ever come up with. I really do. Up to the minute news, up to the second news, information. Just think of what you had to do when you were a kid in junior high or grade school. You had to go to the library and look through the encyclopedias. And that's one thing. I'll bet the sale of encyclopedias is down to nothing. Information available at your fingertips nowadays. And it's... I think it's a wonderful thing. In that respect, the information age is a great thing. There are some abuses, to be sure. Most certainly some abuses. We're losing some of our liberties and some of our privacy because of it. But on the positive side of the ledger, it is a wonderful thing having so much knowledge and information available to anybody with an inexpensive computer nowadays. I love it. I do. I don't spend all day every day, and I'm not one of these surfers when I go on the Internet. I have a mission to find out something about a certain subject, and I don't sit and surf all day and go to lots of chat rooms and that sort of thing. It just isn't me. But each to his own. Hey, thanks for being with us this first hour. We're going to have Eric Margolis coming up with us the second hour to talk about Musharraf and that big mess over there. If you don't want to miss that, Eric Margolis, one of the most informed men about that area in the entire world. He is the expert's expert, so be with us for that. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Billy Shears, music director. We'll be back right after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. Pakistan Today, demonstrations by lawyers are expected to continue today. On Saturday, Military General and President Pervez Musharraf called for a state of emergency and suspended the country's constitution. This move is seen as an attempt to prevent the Supreme Court from invalidating his re-election for not quitting his military post. Thousands have been thrown in jail, most of them lawyers. Two bombs targeting lawmakers in northern Afghanistan province of Baghlan has killed at least 35, including six parliamentary members. The massive explosions occurred near a sugar factory and struck children and elders as well as government officials who were entering the building. Italian police today arrested 20 suspected terrorists in Italy and other European nations. The men are accused of recruiting suicide bombers and sending them to Iraq and Afghanistan. Last week's incessant rain has caused massive flooding and mudslides in southern Mexico. A landslide has left nearly 80% of the southern state of Tabasco underwater, with at least 20,000 people stranded on rooftops and 16 missing. The White House has agreed to send $300,000 in aid. North Korea has begun dismantling five nuclear sites under the supervision of a team of international experts. The process is expected to be completed by the end of December. Despite positive talks between President Bush and Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan, military operations by the Turkish army against a Kurdish separatist group in northern Iraq will move forward. The White House does not agree with the move. Turkey is a NATO ally of the U.S. Pope Benedict XVI met today with Saudi Arabian King Abdullah. This is the first time ever meeting between a pope and a reigning Saudi king, and comes amidst the strict religious law enforced in Saudi Arabia. Wahhabism, a narrow interpretation of Islamic law, prohibits diplomatic relations with others outside of the Muslim faith. On Capitol Hill, the Senate Judiciary Committee has approved the nomination of Michael Mukasey as Attorney General. His confirmation was stalled over his refusal to declare waterboarding torture. Mukasey has agreed to enforce any laws passed by Congress against the interrogation technique. The U.S. military announced the deaths of five more U.S. troops have made this year the deadliest since the Iraq War began in 2003. Despite the recent drop in violence, at least 852 service members have been killed, surpassing the 2004 death toll of 850. And it's election day today across the country. Voters will go to the polls primarily to elect local officials and decide statewide propositions. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Civility takes an effort. It requires that people remember that relationships need our attention. Whether we are talking about our most important personal relationships, how we get along with our colleagues, or the way we interact with strangers, it is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, "We must be as courteous to a man as we are to a picture, which we are willing to give the advantage of a good light." This is the essence of civility. When we are civil to strangers, when we defer at the intersection instead of racing out ahead, when we hold the door for someone we don't know, when we smile at someone who catches our eye, we declare our choice for a civilized society. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com.
The Space Shuttle Discovery is heading home after a busy 15-day trip to the International Space Station, which had equipment failures, damaged solar wings, and a spacewalk to fix those problems. Discovery will make an early afternoon landing tomorrow. Doctors are debating the use of what is being called super X-rays. Researchers say the cardiac tests are faster, cheaper, and more efficient than current diagnostic tests for cardiac blockages. However, they also supply a much higher dose of radiation than regular X-rays. President Bush today announced tougher inspection rules will be imposed on imported products. Under the plan, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the Consumer Product Safety Commission will have more power to guard against tainted products making it to store shelves. Dow Chemical and food company Dole have been ordered to pay more than $3 million for exposing workers to dangerous pesticides that left six employees infertile. The Nicaraguan workers harvested bananas during the 1970s and 80s. Shares of comic book character licensing company Marvel Entertainment jumped 22% after it posted a better-than-expected quarterly profit. Marvel attributes profits to its merchandising success connected to the movie Spider-Man 3. Light sweet crude is trading at $96.82 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is trading at $823.80 an ounce. And on Wall Street this hour, the Dow Jones is up 51 points, the Nasdaq is up 8, and the S&P 500 is up 9. There's more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
Switch! Run, I say!
show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said.
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, we're back and still not sure exactly what's going on the House floor right now. It appears that maybe, just maybe, the vote to lay the thing on the table has been... defeated? I'm not sure. They're going to extend the vote for a while. Do I have that right? Who knows? One thing. Be clear about this. And everybody needs to be very clear about this and understand what's going on here. Just because the Republicans are voting not to table Kucinich's bill doesn't mean that they support the impeachment of Dick Cheney. Certainly not. They voted this way because they think that somehow they're going to come out with a political advantage to have a full debate on the floor. This is nothing to do with the Republicans in the House thinking Cheney should be impeached. Far from it. They see an advantage to having this debated fully on the House floor, and that is exactly what they're up to. We've got some sort of a political chess game going on here at the moment, and you better believe they've thought this out long and hard and are ready to battle it out with the Democrats over this. So that is exactly what's going on right now. So don't be thinking that the Republicans are ready to knuckle on under this, because they are not. They certainly are not. I think we're going to take a quick break right now, and we're going to get a hold of our guest. Eric Margolis will be coming up with us to talk about the Musharraf situation, and we'll be back in just a moment.
I'll tell you mine.
Hey, thank you for being with us this afternoon. We're back, and as promised, we have, well, just the best commentator on this particular subject that you could find worldwide. I am sure we are blessed to have Eric Margolese with us this afternoon. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you.
When I thought Pakistan and Musharraf, the first thing I thought of was Eric Margolese. I know you've spent considerable time in that area. I know you know a lot of people in that area, and I really can't think of anybody that's probably more well-versed on the situation that's happening there right now. How much of a problem is this for us right now?
It's a big problem. It's been building for a long time. It could be a huge problem. First of all, we've put all our eggs in the basket of Mr. Musharraf. He is a hated dictator. He commands less than 10% popular support. There have been numerous assassination attempts on him, and as he was losing power, he's imposed martial law on what was a sort of fairly easygoing dictatorship. Now it's a very stern martial law, and Pakistanis are screaming that this man is an agent of Washington, and he's forcing us to fight our own people, and this great hatred for Musharraf, and unfortunately, it's ricocheting off and hitting the United States.
How much of an agent of Washington is he? Is he his own man at all, or is this something that the administration has understood, or is this something that they're just powerless to do anything about?
When Musharraf came to power in a coup in 1999, and I interviewed him shortly thereafter, we, the United States, had nothing to do with it. But it was all internal Pakistani military politics and politics. But gradually what happened was, after 9/11, we came literally, as Musharraf says in his book, and pointed a gun to his head and said, either cooperate or we're going to attack Pakistan. So he caved in completely, and what he allowed was that he literally rented the Pakistani armed and intelligence services to the U.S., and we are using them to attack pro-Taliban tribesmen in Pakistan's tribal belts along the Afghan border and in the province of Balochistan. Pakistanis are screaming, hey, the Americans are paying for the Pakistani army to fight against its own people. Musharraf, you've sold out. You've become a puppet of Washington. I mean, that's the cry that's going up.
Well, how about $11 billion in aid since 9/11? How much of that is needed for the support of Musharraf's own private army there? How much of that is true?
Well, Guy, it is true. It is $11 billion in official aid. 60% of it can be traced directly going to the Pakistani armed forces, but who have barely gotten any new arms or weapons. So this money is strictly going for payoffs to the senior ranks of the Pakistani army to rent the loyalty of the Pakistani generals. But this is only a drop in the bucket. The big money is coming from CIA from black budgets that we don't know about. And I've heard some estimates saying that it's as high as $1 billion a month that's going to rent loyalty in Pakistan, and that's the source of Musharraf's power, is these sacks of $100 U.S. bills that he's handing out to try and keep the troops and politicians and judges and the media supporting him.
Well, rented loyalty isn't exactly built on a solid foundation. How tenuous is it?
It's very tenuous, and now the chickens are coming home to roost. It's interesting, you know, we have the Bush administration has been calling for a crusade for democracy, right? That's its mantra. Just last week, it was the White House and even Mrs. Bush were blasting the wicked Burmese generals for beating up protesters and monks and things like that there. And now what do we see? That we see Washington in the full glare of the spotlights supporting a very nasty military dictatorship in Pakistan, not to mention military dictatorships in Egypt and Algeria. And, you know, one of the things that foreigners find the most unlikable about Americans is our glaring double standards. And here's one in spades.
Well, absolutely it is. I mean, they had a constitution which reads quite a little bit like ours. You know, the right to free movement around the country, protection of life and liberty, and the right of detainees to be informed of their offense and given access. You know, it pretty much reads like the American constitution. Many of these countries' constitutions do that are democracies now. And all of a sudden they find themselves... well, they find this constitution kind of a moot point right now, don't they?
It's just been torn up and ignored, and the greatest illegality was that the Pakistani Supreme Court, which has come back to life and is asserting the rule of law in Pakistan, it's a remarkable development, was going to rule on Monday, this past Monday, against Musharraf, saying it was illegal for him to be both commander of the armed forces and president, as he wants to do. And then he just arrested all the judges and tore up the paper. You know, he's claiming that he staged this martial law out of fear of spreading Islamic militancy and violence, but this is simply not true. What he did was he's doing it to arrest and break the power of his political opponents and to ensure his position onwards as dictator for life.
Oh, a politician acting in his own interest. How interesting.
Shocking.
Yeah. Is there any danger of us having another Shah of Iran-type scenario where the radicals might take over Pakistan if he uses that as the guise of doing all this to fight extremism? Do we have a danger of that?
Guy, you're as usual, you're right on target. That's the 64,000 rupee question. Yes, I just heard yesterday for the first time as I was talking to Pakistan that people are starting to call Musharraf Pharaoh. Now, I've heard that name twice before. First was in Iran, that's what they called the Shah, and in Egypt, that's what they called Sadat, American puppets, Pharaoh. Now they're calling this the Musharraf. And the problem is that having backed a military dictator against the wishes of his people and forcing the army to fight their own people, we've enraged the Islamists, the extremists, everybody. And when Musharraf goes, and he will one day, we're going to be left with a nation of 165 million people pulsing with anger at the United States, just like Iran was.
Well, what about the number one fear of a lot of people? This is a country that has from what I understand dozens of nuclear weapons. Are they in the hands of stable people? I mean, a lot of times Americans, you know, being the ugly Americans we are, we look at anybody else around the world as being a bunch of know nothing heathens. A lot of these people have been trained in this country, I assume, and have the wherewithal to take care of these weapons in a responsible manner, I hope.
Guy, they do. Perhaps not as well as we do, who accidentally flew a whole bunch of nuclear-armed cruise missiles across the United States recently.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of Air Force officers were fired. But, the Pakistani nuclear arsenal is under very, very tight control of special units of the Army and the Intelligence Service, ISI. And I have no doubt that they are completely secure. However, there is one danger, and that is that the Army now is rent by divisions between those officers who are being paid off and who are supporting Musharraf, senior officers of the Army, corps commanders, division commanders, and the lower-ranking officers who are ashamed that their army has been rented like mercenaries to fight the tribals on the border and who want to overthrow Musharraf. If the army does split, if there's a power struggle, well, then who knows who's going to get control of the nuclear weapons.
Mm. Oh my! In that part of the world, how big of an ally are they really in Bush's so-called war on terror? Are they the real firewall against it? There, how important are they?
Guy, they are a very useful, critically important ally. Reason being that Pakistan supplies 75%. Of all the logistics to U.S. and NATO forces occupying Afghanistan. The U.S. has three secret air bases in Pakistan that provide 24/7 top cover. The minute a U.S. or allied unit is attacked in Afghanistan, people get on the phone, and their aircraft, they're within 3 minutes. It's because of this that our relatively small number of troops are able to maintain their position. Without constant air cover, we would be run out of Afghanistan. An uproar in the rear supply areas of U.S. forces in Afghanistan is extremely serious, as well as any diminution of intelligence and communication support from the Pakistani military.
Well, Eric, I know you're in communication with people in Pakistan right now. If I were to walk through the streets, for example, of Karachi, and if I were able to ask the average Pakistani, is he with us on this war on terror, or is he? How does he feel about Al-Qaeda? What would I hear?
Well, first of all, nobody outside the United States believes in this propaganda term, war on terror. In fact, a recent poll taken by Pew and the International Opinion Research, World Opinion Research, showed that a majority, so 70-80% of people in major Muslim countries, think that the United States is trying to undermine or even destroy Islam. So while we see a war on terror, they see a war against Islam. And totally different perception. But in Pakistan, the most popular figure in Pakistan is Osama bin Laden. The most unpopular is are General Musharraf and President Bush, both who are regarded as less than 10%. So you can see the opinions there are very polarized. The most popular civilian leader is Benazir Bhutto, who commands the largest civilian political party.
Where is she in all this? We're going to hear from her?
Well, I talked to her yesterday, and she was in Karachi. She's flown to the north, to Islamabad, and her supporters are going to stage a big illegal demonstration on Friday. I don't know what's going to happen with that. She is very worried. Many of her supporters have been arrested. Some of my friends have been arrested, including the former commander of Pakistani intelligence, General Hamid Gul. She's even worried for her own safety that she'll be arrested or assassinated by the government.
What about the situation when she first arrived there? Was that contrived? Was that an actual attempt on her life? What's your opinion on that?
Well, the government claimed it was Islamic extremists or Islamic militants. However, Benazir Bhutto told me that she's convinced that her information is it came from the government. The government staged this bombing to discredit her on her arrival and to prevent any future large demonstrations, because that's really her power, is turning hundreds of thousands of supporters out onto the streets.
So who do we want to be in charge there, from the selfish point of view of the United States?
Our best interest is to support a legitimate democratic government. There's Benazir Bhutto, this former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, who tried to return and was booted out of the country. We need to support the moderate democratic forces. We never support the moderates in the Muslim world. We support the reactionaries and the tiny ruling elites and the military juntas. We have to go mainstream and practice what we preach. Without a democratic government there, there's never going to be any stability. And we have shot ourselves in the foot so far in Pakistan.
Well, Eric, you said something a couple of moments ago that kind of gave me a chill. You said that Osama bin Laden is the most popular guy in Pakistan. Just how far behind the curve are we here? I mean, if we want to back a democratic government, but we're talking about a small portion of the people in relation to the actual people. How much trouble are we in here?
Well, bin Laden is popular not because of the hatred he preaches, but for the reason that he's seen as one of the few people in the Muslim world who's standing up to the United States and is opposing its policies in Palestine, the Soviet policies in Chechnya, calling for the liberation of Kashmir, et cetera, he shouts what others only dare whisper. But I think if the U.S. were able to convince the Muslim world that it is not their enemy, as is currently believed, and start solving some of the problems in the Muslim world, starting with Palestine, then I think you would find a support for bin Laden would deflate almost immediately.
Well, I hope there can be some sort of balance take place there in the not-too-distant future. It seems like we've been treading water for a long time now, and I just don't know exactly where to go with this. You've got the revised edition of War at the Top of the World out now?
I do. The third edition of my book is indeed out. You can get it through Amazon.
Okay, Amazon. It's a good read, by the way. I haven't got the third edition. I haven't read the third edition yet. I'm going to have to.
I'll have to get it, you guy. And I just finished the manuscript for my new book, which is called American Raj. And Raj meaning rule, like the old British Indian Raj. And it will be out next fall.
Ah, well, I see they're exacting some revenge. I think I read someplace recently where an Indian gentleman bought, what was it, Land Rover or Rolls Royce or one of the companies. And I thought, oh, there's the karma for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Eric, thank you so much for being on the program. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. If you want to get answers about something in depth on Pakistan or that area of the world, you're the guy to talk to, and our listeners love hearing from you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure working with you, guy. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Eric Margulies, ladies and gentlemen, he is an award-winning author, columnist, and broadcaster. Eric, like he said, he's been in contact with Bhutto. He knows many of the top military people in Pakistan. He has carried a gun in that part of the world. What he doesn't know about that particular area of the world, well, isn't worth knowing. And he's a gentleman that the Bush administration and any administration should have leaned on for all the knowledge they could get. But you know what? They don't. They'd rather listen to their political cronies and guess what's going on instead of actually know what is going on in that area of the world. We're going to pause for a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Start my life anew instead of having sweet dreams all about you. You don't love me, it's plain. Instead of having sweet dreams about you.
Few weeks, the world has been inspired by the courage of the Burmese people. Ordinary men and women have taken to the streets in peaceful marches to demand their freedom and call for democratic change.
This is Bush to Musharraf. Yeah.
This.
Yeah, the Burma people, they're all wrong, but the Musharraf They can do away with their constitution, do away with their Supreme Court, arrest thousands of people in their country, a great display of good old-fashioned democracy that Junior Bush loves so much. And nary a word said to Musharraf, who is plain and simple a dictator. Interesting to hear the comments from Eric Margolis. Have I got this right now? The impeachment's going to go to the Judiciary Committee? Have I got that right? I'm afraid I'm caught flat-footed on this today. I would have bet most of what I own, which isn't a lot, that this thing would have been tabled. It was no surprise that Steny Hoyer said to lay it on the table, and I figured that's where it would stay. And I have to admit to being somewhat shocked here that the Republicans have decided to play some hardball politics with this, and that is what they're doing. The reason we have some Republican votes on this is they want to make a political issue of it. But this is amazing. Just amazing. If the final is A's, I's 218 and then A's 192, that's most interesting, that's for sure. We shall, if you know for a fact, if you've got CNN on and know for a fact what the details about this, if any of your legislative geniuses, if you know everything about the protocol like a Bob Byrd does or somebody like that, well, give us a call, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. You know, not having this on a table is a big deal. Not to just have it dropped is a big deal. Even if it gets defeated by the full House, that is a big deal, because the public will finally hear some of the charges, some of the real charges against Dick Cheney, some things that much of the public does not know, some things that need to get out in front of the public. These things will be aired now, and that's a good thing. Even if they don't have time from now until the end of this administration to actually do anything on it, the fact that some of this stuff will be open to the light of truth can be nothing but just plain good. I mean, that's all there is to it. Just plain good. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Well, hi, Guy. This is ELO from the chat room calling.
Well, hi.
To fill you in on what's gone on with the votes today, the motion to table to kill the impeachment was denied, and that was largely because of the Republicans.
Yeah.
And probably so they could turn around and vote not to impeach, which is exactly what they did, or excuse me, vote to not send it to committee. Now, there were two votes to send it to the Judiciary Committee. The first vote was should it be sent to the Judiciary Committee, and then the final vote that they just had was, will it be sent to the Judiciary Committee, and both of those votes were yes. So this is now the Dennis Kucinich's impeachment resolution now goes to the Judiciary Committee.
Well, I have to say that Dennis is probably as surprised as I am about this. I didn't think it would get there. I really didn't.
Well, you know, there was watching the vote, there were a few Democrats that didn't vote, but there were five, and I am dying for the roll call votes to be published. There were five Democrats that voted no, straight off the bat, when it came time to vote on whether or not to send it to committee. And those are the five that I really, really want to know who they are. Because, I mean, it's just an absolute disgrace that, and my God, all the drum beating for a war in Iran when there's no evidence, it amazes me that, you know, the one I said it in the chat room and I'll say it here, it is not these guys' job to, their oath is to defend and uphold the Constitution. The Judiciary Committee will determine whether or not Dick Cheney did that. So there should be yes votes to send it to committee all over the place.
Absolutely. Let the truth come out. I mean, let, as they always say, let the chips fall where they may.
Right. Let the truth or the lack of it come out. But as it is, all this is just a great big squelch treatment to try and keep everything hidden. This is not democracy.
No. No. Well, that's not been what this administration has been about from day one. They've been about secrecy. They've been about expanding executive powers. It's been naked aggression by the White House against the Congress and against the people of the United States since day one.
Yep. And this final vote today is on whether or not to override Shrub's veto on the waterworks bill that he vetoed last week. So,
yeah.
And judging by the voting that took place to move it to his desk now, it looks like we're going to override his veto on that one. So.
You know, wouldn't it be something if in these last few months of the Bush administration that a whole bunch of our legislators would go, hey, you know what? I've been sticking with this guy through thick and thin, right and wrong. I'm finally going to do the right thing and come out from behind the trees and do the right thing for a change. Wouldn't it be something if we had a change of heart in the Congress of the United States?
It would bring tears to my eyes, I tell you.
It would to me as well. That's for sure.
Okay, Guy, I'll let you give.
Hey, thanks so much.
Give you that update. You're
Thank
welcome.
You so
Bye-bye.
Much.
Bye
bye. I think this is a big day. It's a big day. We may not get this done. We probably won't get this done, in my opinion, practically speaking. But the more that it can be aired in public, the better it will be. There are many, many people in this country that are not necessarily hardcore right-wingers that are just poorly informed people who believe the likes of a Limbaugh or a Hannity or like that. And once they are able to hear in a public forum and before the Judiciary Committee some of the charges against Dick Cheney brought forth with people with some credence, I think some of this stuff might change some of these people's mind. My God, it has to. It has to. There has not. It is. Do you agree with me? It's one of the most frustrating things in the world. Has there ever been anybody more deserving of having his ass thrown out in the street, out of the American government, than Dick Cheney and Junior Bush right behind him? But has there ever been a more despicable public servant than Dick Cheney? And if these slings and arrows of Dennis Kucinich has happened to land and hit their target some, why, my God, I think that's it's monumental. It's historic. And I hope I'm not overstating this, but I could be wrong, but I just have to think that Dennis may not have thought he was going to get this far with this today. And if he does, there'll be some champagne bottles corks popping tonight, that's for sure. We can tell this is a popular issue. We have a big audience today here on Head on Radio Network. And it's because of this issue, I'm sure. So, my word. Hey, and I do want to encourage everybody to head on over to the Head on Radio Network website and vote for whom you would like to see get the Democratic nomination. You can vote for anybody you wish on there, and do that. Head on over there, headonradionetwork.com, and vote. I think, God, I'm proud of Dennis Kucinich. I really am. I would have paid. I was going to say big money. I don't have big money, but I would have paid a lot to have sat with Dick Cheney, and you know he was watching. Would love to have been sitting with Dick Cheney when the statement in front of the Congress, this, what is it, HB 333, that Kucinich, is that what it's called, that Kucinich put up? As that was being read on the floor of the House of Representatives, I would love to have seen the reaction of one Richard Cheney. Oh, I'm sure it would have been priceless, absolutely priceless. A more hateful man never lived. And He's probably already called out the dogs on Dennis Kucinich. Dennis, don't walk out of the Capitol building tonight without an escort. Don't go back to the House office building without some people at your side. Don't walk across don't walk across any traffic signals in Washington D.C. tonight, Dennis. No, don't. I don't know. I'm all of a sudden giddy over this. Am I wrong? Are we talking about the right thing here? This is really going to go before the Judiciary Committee? I mean, this is precious stuff. I envy Bob and the rest of the gang and Mark and all. They've got the whole evening to talk about this now, and it's just going to be. It's just going to be delicious. What else can I say? I'm sure you can tell the ebullience in my voice as I learn a little more about this all the time. Again, it's not because I necessarily think they're going to get Cheney impeached, but it's because the bastard's going to have the light of truth shown right on him. And if there's anything this guy doesn't like, if there's anything, he's like a cockroach. He's like a rat. He likes to stay in the dark, undercover, and not let anybody see the machinations that take place in the dark. All the illegal things he's done. The secretive man that he is, the guy that's done everything under the covers and down in the chambers underneath the White House, and you know all the how refreshing this will be. How refreshing this will be. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Again, the big news, Kucinich's impeachment resolution is going to go before the Judiciary Committee. And that's just the best news I've heard all day. Well, that's better than a candy bar and a bottle of soda. Anytime. Sounds stupid now. Hey, give me a call, 866-546-5254. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to be back in just a moment or two.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Oh, always listen to your mom. Don't run with the scissors. And remember all those things, Mom. Be sure and put your scarf on when you go out in the cold. Be sure and put your boots on, your little mittens, and all the things that Mom made you do because she loved you. Yeah, that's right. Hey, let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello.
Hello, yourself.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm sure you are, too, right now.
Yeah, doing well right at the moment.
This is Jennifer,
yes.
Also known as Powerpuff,
well,
from the chat room.
Yes.
And I'm just as happy as a clam at high tide right now. I am so proud of Dennis. I could bust my buttons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is the bomb.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I don't know how many people in Congress have the temerity to do what Dennis did today, probably less than a handful. But there's only one Dennis Kucinich, and love him, or as some people do, hate him. You've got to hand it to him. The guy's got courage like few other people do, and I love that about him.
I know, and are you familiar with his bio?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm a former Ohioan, and... I've followed Dennis's career since he was the boy mayor of Cleveland, and he's just he's a credit to his people up there. He's been a great representative, and he's been a great congressman. You can always count on Dennis to do what's right.
I know. He's just so ethical and so, oh my God, I cannot stop singing his praises.
There's something wrong with him, isn't there? He doesn't belong with the rest of those people.
Well, actually, we need more like him.
Oh, wouldn't it be great?
Some of those dogs up there.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to have 435 people in the House of Representatives that have the ethics of a Dennis Kucinich? My God.
No kidding.
We can only hope.
Yes, and I love his wife. I've been reading about Elizabeth.
I've met her. I've sat beside her at a small dinner. A lovely gal and a personality to match.
I can imagine.
She's wonderful.
Done so much good in her life. You know, she's been, I mean, even as a teenager,
yeah,
she's been doing charitable things and really cares about humanity.
And she's not an empty suit. She's very, very intelligent and well-spoken and just a nice, gentle lady. And like I said, she's got a beautiful serenity about her personality. Dennis lucked out real well there. He overmarried, you know. A lot of us guys do.
I don't know if she did all right, too. I kind of hated her for a minute because I would have married that guy in a New York minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you missed out. I mean, that's just what can I say?
I can't compete with that gorgeous redhead. No way.
And she is a redhead. There's no doubt about that.
Anyway, I just wanted to share my excitement.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad you did, and I hope everybody will today. It's a great day, and it's a great day for democracy that Dennis Kucinich has spoken for the people.
This gives me hope.
Yeah.
And I was running short on that.
I know what you mean. It's kind of like a little shot in the arm for all of us, wasn't it? We've been kind of sagging a little bit lately and down in the mouth and depressed about things. And along comes Dennis and just gives us a big old kick in the rear and says, come on, let's go.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Love the guy. Okay, you have a wonderful afternoon.
I plan to, and you as well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ah, yes. can't stop chuckling over this, really. Hope I've got it all straight. I tell you, right after the show, I'm going to dig into this in depth and find out what the next moves are procedurally, how this will go. And you can bet. And get ready, the right-wing hate machine tonight. Hannity and Combs, you can hear them talking already about, and Mark Levin that comes on right-wing hate radio, and of course, Laura Ingraham tomorrow, and Hannity, and of course, the drug junkie, don't forget about him. Oh, they'll be in full lunatic, stark, raving, mad, foaming at the mouth mode, won't they? Oh, they will. That crazy Kucinich, that right-wing lunatic Kucinich. I can hear him. Oh, I can hear him. The man actually wants a Department of Peace. Yes. Boy, what a crazy idea, huh? What a crazy idea to have a Department of Peace. In a country that has a Defense Department. We used to call it the Department of War. What an insane idea, huh? To have a Department of Peace, a group within our government that worked for peace. God knows our State Department hasn't done much about it in the last 7 years. It would be. Corey Stone writes on the chat room, could we all be sharing the same dream? Oh, I hope it's a. yes, a lot of us chuckling right now. I think a lot of us chuckling over this. And I think we're going to pause for a quick break and play a little song for Dennis Kucinich.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell. Below us,
It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join.
Imagine John Lennon, a little tune for Dennis Kucinich this afternoon. I often do that. I often imagine. Some people call us idealists. Some people think we've got our heads in the clouds when we think the government ought to be something pure and good and decent and work for the good of all the people in this country instead of just a select few. That they think we're dreaming because we should hear the truth from our elected leaders. And I'm so proud of Dennis Kucinich this afternoon for taking a tough stand, an unpopular stand maybe even. I think once the people get to know the facts of the case, that it will not be so unpopular. But he's to be commended for showing real courage today, and I'm damn proud of Dennis Kucinich today and his whole staff. I hope you'll stay along this evening. Mark Levine's coming up right after this show, and then Bob, John a little later on. I know they'll be discussing this all evening, and I know everybody's excited about it, and I am as well. We've got a tremendous audience here today, and it's probably because of this issue. It's just important. It's just important. It's our freedoms have been at stake lately, and something I'll talk a little bit about tomorrow. I didn't want to talk about our freedoms. But our freedoms have been at stake, our very American way of life, our prestige around the world, all that's been at stake because of the terrible secrecy that has gone on within our government. And the abuse of power that has taken place by this Bush administration. And it's just so refreshing to have somebody stand up and try and throw a little truth out there for everybody to see. I think we got time to take one last call today. Let's do that. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, Dave, and I'll be real quick, but another one.
You don't have to be so quick, Dave. We got about 4 minutes here, okay?
Oh, I see. Well, another really wonderful thing about this day is that people have been calling the House of Representatives more today than ever before. And as I understand it, 99.something to 1 said, get behind Dennis Kucinich and his impeachment measure. There was nobody calling saying, block it. And so every representative knew that if he voted with the big corporate special interests that put money in his pocket, they would indeed have to vote against the overwhelming majority of those people that have them there to represent their interests. And I think there enough people did it that several of them that would never have voted for impeachment felt they had to abstain or go along with it.
Well, Dave, you're absolutely right. Some of these people that vote, when they see the handwriting on the wall that not just a few but an overwhelming majority of people in their districts want them to vote a certain way, why, you know, that's pretty doggone important to them. Hey.
Indeed. I mean, a lot of us were calling everybody we knew, saying, call your congressman, and they think, oh, thank you for reminding me. Yes, of course. So.
You know, there's nothing that upsets any of those guys any more than, hey, I might have to leave Washington. I might have to go back home to wherever I'm from and not be in the House of Representatives anymore and lose my perks and lose my power. Oh, no, I better listen to the people.
I'll put in more voting machines.
Yeah.
Wonderful show. Wonderful day, guy.
Yes, it is. Dave, thanks so much for calling.
Well.
Yeah, bye. It's... every now and then, we have a little victory. And today's one of those days. And I profoundly thank Dennis Kucinich for that. We needed a little hope. We needed something to spur us on. We needed a little impetus to keep the movement going, to keep the pressure on these people, and Dennis has given us that today. We need to stand as a group and back him on this now and flood the representatives with emails and mail and phone call over this issue. Absolutely flood them the way that we did today and yesterday to keep it up, to keep the pressure on and let them know how we feel about that. This isn't some left-wing, far-left kook fringe movement. This is a movement by the people. This is a movement by the group of mainstream people in this country that want the truth to come out. Not as any vendetta against a Dick Cheney. No. To bring forth truth, to bring forth decent government in this country. That's what this is about. This is about the people. This is the people having the right to good government. This isn't about any hatred toward Dick Cheney. Nothing could be further from the truth, and he's not a likable guy. But this is about getting good government for the people. About taking back the power for the people. That's what this is about. And if it's some small victory for us, then thank God for it. It's a great day. Feels good to be proud to be an American. Feels mighty good. And I want to thank Representative from Ohio, Dennis Kucinich, for allowing all of us to feel that way for a little while. Thank you, Representative Dennis Kucinich. Well, be sure and hang on. Listen to Mark coming up at, well, just a half a minute. And then Bob after that. And then John. So we'll be talking a lot about this all evening long. Stay where you're at. Join the conversation. We'd love to have you. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network today. Thanks to Billy Sears, our music director. And don't you forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.